We're looking for ephemera, hair follicles, small flowers, plants, bedroom residue that children might have left behind and gone off to college, small samples of dirt from somebody's front yard or backyard, things that represent the family, the individuals in that family, or person.
Constructed articles or personal and natural, what?
Both personal and natural, indeed. And for people to just bring them to our workshop, and we would incorporate them into the mix of this concrete sculpture that we're creating. And the sculpture is visually looks like a small transistor radio. And we're going to create this transceiver, if you will, conceptually, with the contributions that locals make to the piece. It's a age-old habit for a lot of people, different places, different countries, to incorporate their shoe or a shoelace, maybe some article from their clothing, after they finish constructing a building, especially in concrete is involved. So they put it into the mix. And last year when I had a residency at Illinois State University, I was talking to one of the employees in the art program who shared a story about her father actually being a construction worker who helped build an art department building. And he inserted also some items into that mix.
Why a small transistor radio as a metaphor? Well, unpack that for us.
Besides the small transistor radio, up to this point in the early millennium, maybe the Volkswagen Beetle would be the only other object you could find throughout the world, that it's being used by different people in different places, and transistor radios also. Hurricane comes, you're not going to see people with current technology too much. You rely on the transistor radio.
So as a cultural icon, it is crossing generations and it remains relevant to today. But how about the idea of transmission of these objects to the future, to a different public? What's the image you're going for?
Bridging differences and grounding ourselves physically and also symbolically in a concrete manner with the representation of a radio. Something that we can also share with the public after it's completed. So it will be permanently at Illinois State University, that piece.
Kendra Pates, where can people do this?
We will be in the Kids Zone at the Bloomington Farmers Market starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So that's at the northwest corner of the Museum Square. And it's National Farmers Market Week. So one of the things that we've told people is that they could also bring coffee, tea, different things that connect food to place as well. And then the exhibition opens to the public on August 16th, so the sculpture will be on display in the exhibition for the following 2 months. And William will also be working with ISU students when he returns in September to make another one that will be added in.
What commended this sort of project to the University Galleries?
Well, William visited here, as he said, he was an artist in residence in spring of 2017 through the School of Arts Visiting Artist Program. So he spent 4 weeks on campus working with our students. A lot of us got to know him. I was familiar with his work before and was really excited about him coming. And after he gave each of those artists gives sort of an initial introductory lecture when they begin their visit. And we started talking after the lecture. We had this really wonderful 3-hour lunch where we were sharing ideas and started talking about doing a project together. One of William's close friends, Terry Adkins, a late artist who actually is one of our very distinguished alums from the School of Art, we started talking about ways that Terry's legacy and his history could be incorporated. So the project has really grown over the course of the last year and a half.
What makes William's work really speak to you personally?
Well, I think there are I'll talk for an hour about this. I think the ways that he talked about bridging, but the ways that he's trying to bridge different cultures, different ideas, different histories, philosophies, through materials, through unexpected presentations of those materials, through sincere interactions with the community. Wherever he travels for these different projects, he really does embed himself within a community, really gets to know people, gets to learn the history of the place. He's not somebody who sort of zips in, says, here I am, and hangs up a work and says, oh, could you participate in my project for this very commercial purpose, and then leaves again. So this started through conversations while he was here. There are a lot of references to our community built into the works that will be on view as well. Drawings that he made in coffee while he was here that reference the architecture of the community, or conversations he had, objects he saw on the ground on his walks. Some are works that he completed while he was here, these juxtapositions of Polaroids. So we're really, really excited about not just bringing an artist in, or not just having work on the wall or the floor, but thinking about all of the different ways that people can interact with the artist, with the work, with the ideas.
William, the name of the exhibit is Contour, Sacred Geometries. What does that mean?
It means condor, sacred bird, Andean sacred bird.
So. And how does that reflect on geometries and place and the kinds of things that Kendra just referenced?
Well, the Contour is also a constellation, an Andean constellation that can be interpreted and has been incorporated in different constellations throughout the world and mythologies. So there's shared mythologies. The geometric factors are always incorporated into that.
And how did the geometries of Bloomington Normal create a mythology or a sense of shared being?
I could answer it in a more broad manner, but directly it would be through my walks from my where I was staying at the Waterson Tower to the art department or to university galleries or to other places throughout Normal. And I would document with my Polaroid camera or take mental notes and basically creating a map of my stay here for my 30 days and also through conversations. So I started making my own version of my constellations of Normal and the individuals that I met. And so that's incorporated into the exhibit through a suite of Polaroids, through coffee drawings, and other smaller ephemera. I think anybody who has the ability to look up and see the sky at night and make out certain constellations can always relate to somebody else on the other side of the world that might see the same one. I think those are the ways that I'm interested in bridging human beings.
Yeah. As part of what Kendra alluded to in the homage to Terry Adkins, you've done a film. Why a film as opposed to a different piece of art or a different medium?
I come from a film background somewhat at the Art Institute of Chicago, and documentary filmmaking is something that I was gravitated to, 60mm documentary filmmaking. And traditionally all documentaries were made with 60mm, not 35, not Super 8. Eventually video, sure, digital. But I come from analog generation, and I also think it's important to archive our presence, our human experience through analog, because it's probably the only thing that a sun flare cannot erase. Library of Congress does not take anything digitally. So even if it's made digitally. All that added to the fact that I wanted to make a portrait, a representation of Terry's presence here at a specific time, 1977, which is also the year I came to the U.S. And I don't think it's a coincidence, but eventually when we met, he became my mentor and eventually friend for many, many years.
And he died in 2014. Yes. How did his friendship and mentorship come out in this film? What?
I think it comes out in abstract forms. The framing of the objects in the film, the sound, the influence of the sound, the music, the collaboration that we did with our fellow artist and also student of and co-worker with Terry Atkins was Louis Gispert, who did the audio for the piece. Louis and I came up together at junior college. So this is a strong bond between the three of us, and also Edra Soto, who was also a friend of mine, who is a friend of mine, collaborated with us as well doing the documenting of the this environment, this space. So this is metaphysical interpretation of Terry's presence through by capturing the essence of a space, an apartment, a room, and the electricity, the energy of the space.
Kendra, how? Let's get your perspective, your take on how the film reflects Terry Atkins.
Well, I think, so I curated an exhibition of Terry's videos a few years ago and made a book about him. So Terry's been on my mind and somebody I've been thinking about, sort of carrying with me. Also thinking a lot about his legacy and the people who are functioning sort of as stewards of that legacy. When William and I first started talking about the exhibition and doing a project together, we were sitting in what was then Anand, the Indian restaurant uptown, and we started talking about, oh, wouldn't it be great to incorporate Terry in some way? Fast forward a little way, and William said, what if we found the place that he lived while he was a student here in the 1970s? We had some of his works in University Gallery's permanent collection. William thought it would be a great idea to hang one of those works in the place where he lived at the time that he had made them. Through a lot of research and sort of serendipity because of other interactions with people while researching Terry, we actually found where he lived, and it turned out to be in the same building as the restaurant where we had had the initial conversation. So it was sort of this lovely kind of nod from the universe, from Terry.
Wow.
you know, that, oh, this has to happen, and we don't know exactly how it will unfold yet. You know, a few different ideas transpired. But in the end, I think what William and Idra and Luis have created really does speak to Terry's, to his presence, to his influence. It's not a documentary. It's not something that says Terry Atkins was born in this city. He mentored this generation of wildly influential artists. It speaks more to the way that Terry's presence lingers, too. I have some other moments with Terry that also felt like that, like he is lingering, like he is very much alive and present, even for... I only had the opportunity to meet with Terry once. He passed very suddenly, so I don't have the long personal relationship with Terry that William and Luis do, but I still feel very connected to him. And it's exciting for me to think about presenting this work here in this place that Terry lived, and continuing to keep his presence here alive as well.
The exhibition is William Cordova, Guntur, Sacred Geometries. It runs from August 16th through October 14th at the University Galleries. William, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Kendra Pates, the curator of the exhibit, thank you.
Thank you very much.